Here's a question for all of us. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone that did not know Christ, that you told them how they could have eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ? Now, all the statistics tell us that about 80% of Christians go through their entire Christian life and never share their faith. Now, think about that. If that's true, that means every 10 of us, only 2 of us have ever shared our faith or will ever share our faith. And that means 80% of the people in this room will never talk to another person about Jesus Christ. Now, hope is not true of us. We all know we got the greatest message of all time. We got the message of grace. We're not telling people works. We're not telling people they have to be good to go to heaven. We're not telling people they got to keep the law. We're not telling people they got to get baptized. We're not telling them anything. We're telling them that Jesus died and rose again for them. And if they will put their trust in him, he gives to them eternal life. We've got the greatest message of all. So when was the last time? Think about in your life, when was the last time you talked to someone about Jesus Christ? Was it something you planned? Maybe it just happened. Maybe you were praying for a certain person. Maybe you were just looking for opportunities. Sometimes when people think about sharing their faith, they think about going door to door, so to speak. You know, oh yeah, well, if you're going to share your faith, you just got to go out through the neighborhood and knock on the door, talk to people, things like that. Well, we know that since we belong to Jesus Christ as children of God, we have the privilege and the responsibility of sharing our faith. So here's the question. How can we share our faith? How can we make a difference in this world? And this lesson, or these next 2 or 3 lessons, because we're dealing with our relationship with unbelievers, is not to make you feel guilty in any way, shape, or form. It's to encourage all of us to share our faith. We come into contact every day with people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. We don't want to run them off, but we want to tell them the great truths about Jesus Christ, and we want to be confident in doing that. As I said earlier, sometimes when we think about sharing our faith, we think about like going door to door or something like that. There are 3 ways that you can share your faith. There's what we call contact, mass, and lifestyle. And we're talking about evangelism. Sometimes it's called contact evangelism. Sometimes it's called mass evangelism. And sometimes it's called lifestyle evangelism. Let me give you a little bit of information about that. Contact evangelism is you just meet somebody. You meet them. Somehow you come in contact with them. It could be anywhere. It could be in a store somewhere. It could be a neighbor that you just, the first time you've ever met them. It could be you're filling up gas and you're talking to the person next to you. Somehow you get to talk to them. I've been on an airplane, sit down by people, somebody talked to me, and before you know it, I don't know them, but before somehow we're in there, I maybe get to talk to them about Christ. So sometimes that happens. There's a thing called mass evangelism, which means the opportunity to speak to groups. What if you are invited to speak somewhere and there's a whole bunch of people out there and you get up and you say something and you say, I'd like to talk to you. Just for a second, I want to tell you how I came to know Christ. And you give the good news message and you even say, if there's any of you out here who's never trusted Christ, you know, today you can do that. That's mass evangelism. Many Sundays, if you know, a lot of times I'll be talking or I'll be going through a passage, whatever it is, and sometimes I'll say, listen, we know the gospel message. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in Christ, right now, right where you're sitting. So that's mass evangelism. The third way is what we call lifestyle. It's where you get to know somebody and you build a relationship with that person. And as you build a relationship with that person through your life and through your words and your works, as we're going to see, you have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. Sometimes something happens. Sometimes you meet somebody. They're your next door neighbor. You begin a relationship with them and suddenly you're good friends. And sometimes you never think about sharing your faith with them, or if you do, you're saying, gosh, if I shared my faith with them, I might make them mad, and then we won't be friends and neighbors anymore. And so sometimes we actually have blocks, you know, like why should I share my faith? Because if I do, I might run them off or something like that. And so we got to be real careful, because lifestyle evangelism is as we go through our daily life, as we meet people, as we make relationships with people, we're looking for opportunities to tell them about Jesus Christ. Now, when I talk about lifestyle, we'll talk about it more in detail in a minute. We're not talking about people or projects. We're not saying, I'm going to get to know this person with the goal of sharing my faith with them. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't want them to feel like, that they're your project, you know, that as soon as you lead them to Christ, you're going on to somebody else. We lifestyle evangelism is you make friends with people and love them, and by the grace of God, you may have an opportunity to share your faith with them. So anyway, that's the thing. Now, that's the big three. We're looking at in our study these three key areas: relationship with Christ, relationship with unbelievers, relationship with believers. Here's what we've seen already in our relationship with Christ. We've done this in the first four, lesson five. So in the first four lessons, we talked about the fact that we were changed from death to life. We've been reconciled by God. Our goal is to know Him, to be like Him, and we're to serve Him with the end result of rewards. And we talked last time about standing before Jesus Christ and being rewarded. So that's a great thing. The second area is where we are right now. We're going to get into details on this in just a minute, but this is relationship with the unbelievers. And we're going to talk about our works, our words, and our testimony. And that's big. And those all three go together to be able to share our faith. The last one is the one that I love the most as far as us talking about. It's our relationship with believers. And there's three key relationships. Somebody who's like a Paul who disciples us, a Barnabas who encourages us, and a Timothy is somebody we disciple. We're going to talk more about that. But let's get into it this morning. Our relationship with the unbelievers. Our works, our words, our testimony. Let me just tell you a few things. First of all, sometimes when we become Christians, we suddenly only have friends with Christians. And if you say, who are your friends? Well, this is my friend. And that's okay. Your closest friends should be believers. Your closest friends should be people in the body of Christ and all that. But sometimes when we become Christians, all of a sudden, non-believers aren't even in our lives in any way, shape, or form again. Well, if we're going to lead them to Christ, if we're going to have opportunities to share our faith and talk to people about Christ, we're going to have some kind of relationships with the unbelievers. And a lot of times you start talking to Christians and you say, who are the unbelievers that are your relationships? And they'll say, I don't have any friends with unbelievers. I don't hang around unbelievers. All of my friends are Christians. And it's true that our closest ones should be Christians, but what about? What about how do we relate to people? And then you begin to think about, how about our neighborhood? How about where we work? How about where we work out? How about, where we go shop? Those all kind of things, we have opportunities to relate to the unbelieving world. So we're going to look at our works, our words, and our testimony. Look at this, Colossians 3. I told you to turn to Colossians 3. Verse 17 is one of my favorite verses. It really says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to through him to God the Father. In other words, whatever we do, now notice what he says, in our words or our deeds, that's our words and our works, so to speak, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We're going to think about our whole lifestyle. We're going to think about our words, our deeds, and our lifestyle. And all that ties together when you're thinking about our relationships. So look at this, our works, serving the unbeliever. Now, let me tell you something. Most of us, or most Christians, don't think that their goal in life is to serve the unbelievers. I mean, how many of you think my goal is to serve unbelievers? If you're going to relate to unbelievers, you're going to serve them. Let me tell you something. We say we've got the greatest message of all, right? Is it the greatest message of all? What does it cost people to have eternal life? Absolutely nothing. You're giving them the gift of eternal life. We got the greatest message of all, and we want to share that message with people. So we have the greatest message of all. But let me tell you something. If we don't touch their lives, if we're not friends, if we don't serve them, they're not going to listen to us. There's that old saying is they don't care what you know till they know you care. They don't care what your message is until they know that you care about them. And so the truth is, we've got to love people. We're going to see what Jesus said in just a minute, but that's the bottom line. We got to love people. So our works, we serve the unbeliever. Our words, we pray for them and we proclaim the message. And our testimony is that we're lights in a fallen world. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to see those three things. And this morning, we're going to talk about works, good works. And we're talking about good works in a fallen world. Most of you know James chapter 2. And whenever you study James chapter 2, so many Christians get confused on James chapter 2 because James talks about doing works and that we're justified by our works. And James isn't talking about salvation. He's talking about how do you show other people that you have trusted in Christ as Savior. And it's basically works. He says, do good works. Reach out to them. Faith without works is what? What does it say in that passage? What? dead. And dead faith doesn't mean you don't have faith. It means this faith's not working. You're not living out who you are. So we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to look at our works. We are servants of Jesus Christ. We serve God and what? Serve others. We don't often think about this. So I want you to think right now, start thinking, who in your life that you come in contact with that you do not know whether they're a Christian or not? You don't know. They may be. They may have already trusted Christ, but in your relationship with them, you don't know that. So what you could do is already write their name down and say, I'm going to begin to pray that I'll have an opportunity to talk with them. Now, we're going to talk more about this next week. But just say, let's say it's some guy named Joe, and he works at a store that you go in all the time. And you are friendly with this person, and they know you. He knows you, and you know him. What if you said, Lord, I don't even know. I know Joe's real friendly, and he's a nice guy and everything, but I don't know whether he knows Christ or not. So, Lord, I would ask you that you would give me an opportunity to talk to Joe. Now, what we're talking about here is that we're servants of Christ, and God said, serve others. That's the plan. We find that this goes against our naturalness. We don't always think about serving unbelievers. We think about serving believers. We say, oh, yeah, we're all in the body. We got spiritual gifts and talents and abilities. We're going to serve each other in the body and everything. But we don't always think about that. When we walk out these doors, if you're going to have an impact to be able to share your faith with those who do not know Christ as Savior, you're going to have to serve them. You're going to have to be nice to them. You're going to have to do things for them. You're going to have to be different than the rest of the world. Well, the rest of the world don't even talk to each other. They just walk right past each other and act like you don't even exist. You're going to show people they exist, and you're going to show people that they are valuable, because you know that whether they're a believer or not, they're made what? In the image of God. They are valuable. Even the jerk is valuable. Okay? So you can't say, that's a jerk. I don't care whether he goes to hell or not. That's what you're saying, right? If you say, I'm not going to talk to that person, I don't care anything about that person, they didn't treat me right. How do we really look at those people who do not know Christ as Savior? So we're going to talk about our works, okay? And so let's look at this. In Galatians 6:10, I forgot. Galatians 6:10 says, do good to all men, especially the household of faith. So he says that your first area that where you're touching lives is the body of Christ. That's because we gather together on Sundays. We're in our grow groups together and all that good stuff. But he says, do good to all men. Do good to all people. Do you remember the passage in Hebrews and in Romans and then in the Old Testament where it basically says, when somebody does you wrong, what do you do to them? Anybody know? Well, no, you don't heap coals of fire on your head. But when you, but when you, what do you do to them? You return evil with good, and that will heap coals of fires on their head. Bottom line is, anybody does you wrong, believer or unbeliever, you do good back to them. Now, that is not natural, right? That's supernatural. We have to live a supernatural life. We have to live a life in the power of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to tell you, if somebody does you wrong, your first thought is not, I'm going to really do something good for that person. But you're going to touch lives for Christ, you're going to have to. I mean, it's who are we living for? I mean, are we living for us, or are we living for them? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for God? He says, do good to all men, especially the household of faith. Look, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, let me read this to you. This is Paul writing, and 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, if I can get to it. He says, this is how Paul said when he first went to the Thessalonians, and when he first went there, there weren't any believers. This is how he treated the people. He said, we proved to be gentle among you. As a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, we having such a fond affection for you. We were well pleased not only to tell you the gospel, the good news, but we gave you our own lives. That's how he dealt with unbelievers when he went there. He says, I didn't just give you the gospel. I came and entrusted my life to you. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart and love what? Now, I put that up here for a reason. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, okay? But then when he got ready to leave the earth, He said, a new commandment I give you. He said, love others as I have loved you. That's the new commandment. So how did he love us? Unconditionally. How do we love other people? Unconditionally. But the truth is, we love people conditionally because we're sinful, fallen people sometimes. And sometimes somebody does us wrong. We say, I'm not going to have anything to do with them anymore. And those kind of things. And we can't do that. We can't do that. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to this. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Titus chapter 3. We did that when we looked at this carefully when we studied the book of Titus. He said, this is a trustworthy statement. And he says, I want those who belong to Jesus Christ, he said, I want you to be very confident that you be very careful to engage in good deeds. These are good and profitable for men. He didn't say these are good and profitable just for believers. He said these are good and profitable for all people. So what are we supposed to do when we walk out these doors? What are we supposed to do? Well, anything, anybody want to say anything? What are we going to do? Are we going to do good works? I mean, that's what it says, right? Look at this one right here. Look at this. Titus, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for, this is Jesus. He gave himself for us. He might redeem us, purify himself, a people, that's us, for his own possession, zealous for what? Good deeds. What a good deed. Good deeds. He died for us. He redeemed us. He set us apart. What are we supposed to do when we go out this door? Now, let's face it. When we're here, are we supposed to do good deeds to each other? Of course. We love each other. We're the body of Christ. We're this local body. We get to be together and eat together and laugh together and talk together and have a great time. But when we go out these doors, we're dealing with people who aren't like us. In fact, they may not even like us. But what do? We got to do good deeds. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to this. I'll get it over there. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, he says, but for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary. Because it's easy to say, well, I'm tired of this. I don't know. Now, I'm going to raise a question, and I want you to think out loud, okay? What can we do? When we walk out these doors, what can we do that would be good works to people in our community that we don't know whether they know Christ or not? We'll share our faith, but they're not going to listen. They may not listen to us sharing our faith until we touch their lives. Invite them to church, but is that a good deed? Okay, all right. So Susie says there's lots of little things. What would be one? Okay, so, I mean, we're just being honest. Being nice to the checker at Walmart, no matter how mad you are. I mean, what we're saying, listen, I'm not saying go out and share your faith. I mean, we are going to share our faith, but what I'm asking you, the question is not go share your faith or invite somebody to church. I'm saying, what things can you do when you go in this community if you're going to have an opportunity with unbelievers to share your faith? You say, be nice to people. That person that won't, you've been in the line for a long time. Maybe they're going too slow. Maybe what are you going to do? Be kind to them. And there are times, sometimes they'll say, I'm so sorry, I messed up on that. What do you say? You sure did. Or do you say, Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Okay, so she's building a relationship with this person who was grumpy. And by being friendly and nice and not being grumpy back. Because isn't it easy to be grumpy back to somebody when they're grumpy to you? Especially if they're supposed to be serving you, right? Listen to what you say. Yeah, because sometimes we don't know what they've been through that day. We don't know. Okay, so that's one way. What else? Okay, so you're saying with some unbelievers, one of the important things to do is if you're going to build a relationship with them is include them into your life. Ask them to go places with you. Ask them to do things. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that'd be fun. Go on the golf cart. I don't know if y'all could hear all that. What do you got over there? Okay, that's a great point. He's saying do something for them that maybe they need some help on. It could be as simple, as he says, as opening the door for them, because sometimes people don't even look back at people, and the door comes right back on them. So you're going to hold the door open, and people will say, well, thank you. And you go, well, thank you. And or letting them in line ahead of you if you're not really in a hurry. You see somebody, and the truck pulls up, and they got some stuff in the back of the truck they're fixing to take into their house, and you go over and say, hey, you need some help unloading this stuff? Right? I mean, what are we looking for? We're looking for opportunities to build a relationship. And unless we do some good stuff, they're not going to listen to us. Oh, gosh, I didn't know time was already up.
Huh? Do we always have to be nice to all of them?
Yeah. Huh? Susie said, do we have to always be nice to everybody? This may be the one exception, but no, I'm just kidding. The most people couldn't hear what they said. Did y'all hear what she said? Carl, did you actually say that? Yeah, he did. He said, do we have to be nice to OU fans? And I said, yes, we do, because there's even people in our church that are OU fans, and we have to be nice to them too. So anyway, okay, look, yeah, I didn't realize time had gone by so fast, so let's do this. Here's what we see. Peter says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. When he says Gentiles, he's talking about the unbelieving world. Live in such a way among the Gentiles so that in the things in which they slander you, they say stuff about us all the time. Do you know in the first century, you know what they said about the Christians? Because the Christians would have what we call the Lord's Supper, right? And what do we call the Lord's Supper? It is the body and the blood of Jesus, right? You know what they called Christians in the first century? Cannibals. They said they were cannibals, that they actually had meetings and they ate children. And they called it the body and the blood. That's what they said about Christians in the first century. So when Peter writes this and says, so that in which they slander you as evildoers, they may on account of your good deeds, because you live good, they observe them and glorify God in the day of his visitation. When God comes, God gets the glory because of your good deeds. So let me quickly give you this. Let's do good to the unbelievers. Let's touch their lives for Christ. And then, by our works, our words, our testimony. And then second, what are some ways we can do good? Listen, I put down helping a food pantry, do something, help a neighbor, help their yard. I knew a guy that his next door neighbor was an older person. He didn't know whether they were a Christian or not. He started cutting, because there was an older lady, and he started cutting her grass every time he cut his grass. And she'd came out and she'd say, what are you doing? He said, I'm cutting your grass. I don't mind. Oh, I don't want you to do that. Oh, I love to do it. And he just cut her grass every time. He built a relationship with her. What can you do as we go out these doors to build relationships with people that might give us an opportunity for us to share our faith so they can come to know Christ?